How does one stay on the right track? Is it all about following the law that Moses set out? That's certainly what the Pharisees had thought. Is it about keeping the Sabbath, ensuring that you work for 6 days and have one day off? How can we ensure that all our actions are purely good? How can we make sure that all of our actions are acceptable to God? But is his scripture really written to bind me and imprison me? Is this really how God wants me to feel by what is written? And does Christ's death on the cross actually sentence me to a fate worse than death, of hopelessness, of seeing what is perfect and never achieving it? Christ, in all his holiness, me, a sinner, is that how God wants me to feel? Well, no. It isn't. Of course it isn't. That's not how the law was intended, and that's certainly not how Jesus' life and ministry and sacrifice on the cross was intended to be seen. God's message to us is not one of hopelessness. Instead, we are to be liberated by our faith in a God who loves. Our salvation is achieved through our faith in Jesus Christ, not any works that we can do, not any rules, laws, or regulations that we follow. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, the scripture says, that you were redeemed. None of these things redeemed you from the empty way of life that was handed down to you from your ancestors. You were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish, without defect. And scripture says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. And this is not God saying that to inherit the kingdom of God, you have to be holy by obeying all the laws. But it's saying, strive after them as Christ is your example. Don't be bound by them. See the love that flows through them. See the love manifest in Jesus Christ, that you strain for what is good and holy. Do not conform to your evil desires. Be holy. And you see, we're all called to participate in God in a very real way. Not by following rules, but by choosing the way of the kingdom of God. We're called to enter into Christ's inheritance of the kingdom of God by our faith in him. He is pure. He is holy. Every time we're washed in his blood, we're saying, we want that too. Therefore, the portion of the kingdom of God we inherit is not ours. It can't be taken away from us because we don't follow a set of rules, a set of laws. But it is ours as a free gift because Jesus has given it to us and said, if you follow me, you walk into it. Therefore, if we're to inherit this salvation, Christ's salvation, we must be conformed to Christ. We must take from Christ what he gifts to us. And you know, when we are baptized into Christ. We are not simply washed clean to get dirty again. We are baptized into Christ to be always clean. It is a wonderful gift. And we're baptized into his resurrection as well. We're baptized into a resurrection that gives us that eternal life. As we walk down into the baptismal pool, we're descending into the grave. As we're plunged into the water, we die with Christ. And as we come back out of the water, we are risen with Christ. And we are a new creation. Not beaten down. Not held back. Not prevented from accessing. We are a new creation with Jesus. We are born again. That's what it means to be born again. And we need to ask continually that God continues to make us sensitive to the leading of his Holy Spirit, that we're baptized in the Holy Spirit as well, and that he will direct our path by his strength, keeping us walking in all holiness. In essence, what has happened in the baptismal pool is that we've become united with Christ in a bond of love that cannot be broken. It can't be broken by not washing our hands in the right way. It can't be broken by eating the wrong thing. It can't be broken by going out to work on the Sabbath. It can't be broken by any of that, because God's love is greater than it. And so what is unacceptable to Christ should become the norm for us. What is unacceptable to us? Not weighing as a burden upon us, but it should symbolize and show and be a sign of Jesus taking over and our selfish ways leaving behind. John the Baptist said, "I must decrease, he must increase." And that is what needs to happen in each of us as well. And we know much about Jesus from reading scripture, so we can kind of understand his ways and what he's talking about. And we can be aware and we can learn about these things and the truth that is revealed. And we can know three things about Jesus quite easily by looking at scripture, by looking just at the gospel that Mark wrote for us that we've been looking through. First, he wants us to listen to his teachings, to understand them. He spoke to the common people and he commissioned others to go out and preach the gospel. And the biggest frustration that Jesus has with his apostles is that they don't understand. It's they can't get past those things that they've been taught, those wrong ways. And he wants them to be free and liberated from it all. Be at peace, have peace, he says to them. Don't worry about the washing of the hands. Don't worry about what goes into your mouth. Don't worry about the storm. Don't worry about what seems to be a ghost walking across the water. I'm with you. I've chosen you. Have peace. Understand that. And that's what he wants us to understand. Whatever our situation is, have his peace. However bad it can get, be at peace. He's paid the price for you that you'll have eternal life. Be at peace. The second thing is that Jesus wants us to be people of substance who are not judged on following a set of rules. It's quite clear. Nothing that goes into a person from the outside can defile him, he says in today's reading. But things that come out of a person, they are what defile him. He's interested in how we live. He's interested in how we love. He looks at our heart. Not the things that we do out of religiosity, not the things that we feel we shouldn't do because we're told we shouldn't do. He wants to see the things we do because the Holy Spirit tells us it's right to do. He wants to see us stop doing the things that aren't right to do because we're convicted by the Holy Spirit to stop doing those things. He wants us to respect him as Lord of our lives, to submit to him as Lord of our lives, because it's the best way. The third thing is that he wants us to seek his mind on all matters. He wants us to live lives that are unceasing in prayer. He wants us to understand his teachings, and he knows that by seeking his mind, we'll understand his teachings. It makes sense, doesn't it? If you seek the mind of the Lord, you understand his teachings. And he said to his apostles time and time again, go away. Go away and spend time with God for your understanding. In fact, last time that we met and we spoke about Mark's gospel, he pretty much physically said, get out of here. Go and spend time with God. Leave these thousands of people behind. Now is the time to go and spend with God. And we've reflected on the peace that that can bring and the understanding that that can bring to situations, any situation. Remember that peace that he brings instantly when he steps aboard that boat when the disciples are terrified. He's saying to us, if you walk with me in unceasing prayer in your life, that peace will be with you and it will never leave you. And that's what he wants for us. And you know what? Right up until the end of Jesus' earthly life, the disciples still don't get it. So if we get frustrated with ourselves, I do at times when I think, well, why didn't I take that to prayer and God? Why have I had all this anxiety for all these days and I've not taken it to the Lord in prayer? I've perhaps called up the doctor, waited for an appointment, wondering what they'll say. But I've not sat down and prayed about it. Start with that. If you forget, the point where you remember, make that the next thing you do. Because the disciples struggled with it, so we're going to struggle with it. But hopefully, as we draw closer to God through doing it, it will become an automatic response for us. But even up until the end of Jesus' earthly life, the disciples still didn't get this teaching. Just look at the events before his crucifixion. At Gethsemane in the garden, there is a parallel there between Jesus and his disciples. Jesus is on his knees in prayer. He's anxious before doing that. He's asking for this cup of suffering to pass him by. And his disciples in the garden are not anxious. They're at peace. They're so much at peace that they're asleep, aren't they? And Jesus has asked them to pray because he knows they're going to be confronted with something that will suck the peace right out of them. And he knows that he is being confronted with something that on a very human level, in terms of humanity, in terms of protecting your own skin, is causing him great problems. And he remembers his teaching to the disciples and he applies it himself. He falls to his knees. And he prays. And he prays a very human prayer. Please take this cup of suffering away from me if it is possible, Lord. But let your will be done. And in that moment of him saying, let that will be done, peace envelops him. Now he's already been back to the disciples and said to them, wake up and pray. And they've fallen back asleep. But now contrast their reactions after the time of prayer in the garden. When people come to arrest Jesus, the soldiers, they come to arrest Jesus. Contrast what Jesus is like compared to the apostles. Jesus is at peace. He's in command. He even takes a moment to forgive and to heal The disciples, on the other hand, they are so anxious, so worried, that they either resort to arms, Peter chops off the ear of one of the soldiers, or they flee. Peace and anxiety. Time spent with the Father, time spent sleeping, not pursuing the Father. That's the difference. When you're confronted with a difficult situation, you can either be at peace through communion with the Father, or you can be anxious because you've sleptwalked into this situation. In Jesus, we see one who is at peace. Are we going to join ourselves in prayer to the living Christ? Because it's relevant when we think about the situation our planet is in right now. When you think about the coronavirus, are we going to be that anxious presence in community? Or are we going to say, God, it's in your hands. Whatever happens will happen, but we'll be at peace about it, and we trust you that you can use all things for good. And when we look at the state of our planet, we're on the very brink of panicking our children into a nervous breakdown over the state of the planet. Yes, the planet is not in a good position. The amount of trees, the deforestation is not good. But our children, there's parents who say their children can't sleep at night, so anxious are they what they're being taught in school about the extinction rebellion that's going on. Just think of that, extinction. That's what, if you say those words to children, they're going to be panicked. How can we be a non-anxious presence in amongst all that to say, yes, it is important, trees are important, let's be more environmentally friendly, let's plant more, but maintaining that peace. God has promised a new heaven and a new earth. He's promised my salvation. He's promised your salvation. Now relax. Be at peace. Stay in communion with God. Don't slip into the error that the apostles made. And you know what? We are sinners. We do make bad choices. We don't always stay in connection with God like we should. We are a bit like the Pharisees. Jesus says to the apostles, you're no better than the Pharisees in this passage we've just read for your lack of understanding about my teachings. And he says to the Pharisees, you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you handed down. They are more concerned by the letter of the law than the love that flows from the law. Let not the church be like that. Let us not be like that. Let's look how Jesus reacted in the temple courts. Mad at what's going on. But let us also look at how Jesus treats the sinner with love, but saying he will not accept the sin. Be healed. Now stop sinning. We are to remember that we are made to be holy because of what Jesus did. We're not to be overly religious, but we are not to be bound either. And I want to encourage you to feel empowered and feel at peace in each situation you face. Not because of anything I'm saying, but because you can remain connected to Jesus in prayer. Jesus wants you to feel that way. He wants you to have his gift. His gift is peace. Amen. now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other. Love one another deeply from the heart, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. Let us remember that as we go out into the world today. And we close our service now by saying together the words that Jesus taught us to pray. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.